Well, on the Sunday mornings where I've been preaching, as we have over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at a series on the fruit of the Spirit, focusing on Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. We've just been learning about the Spirit. When Jesus went into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit into the world, into his people. If you love Jesus, you have God living in you. And when God lives in you, bringing you closer to Jesus, the Spirit changes you. And this is what the Spirit does. This is the change, the fruit of the Spirit. The change that the Spirit brings is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So remember, this list is not a new set of rules to follow, as if, you know, just try harder at being good. No, it's a list of things that will grow in your life when you love Jesus. If a tree is alive, there will be fruit. If you are alive in Jesus, you will change. So you will become more like Jesus if you are a Christian, a real Christian. It's basically a series on what real Christians should be like. And this morning, we have reached the seventh part of the fruit of the Spirit. This is the, part 8 of the series. We had an introduction. But this is the seventh part of the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. Faithfulness. And one of our elders, George Barney, is going to come up and read to us from Matthew chapter 25 and verses 14 to 30.
Matthew chapter 25 at verse 14. Entitled The Parable of the Bags of Gold. Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with the 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. May God bless his word.
Well, turn with me back to the passage that George read for us in Matthew chapter 25 and keep that parable, that story that Jesus told, open in front of you if you can. There is a wise proverb in the Bible. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? One of the stories of the week, apart from UK reaching second in the Eurovision Song Contest, one of the stories of this last week in the media has been the libel case between Colleen Rooney and Rebecca Vardy. Now, if you don't know anything about it, be relieved. But I'll fill you in. Colleen Rooney, the wag of the famous footballer Wayne Rooney, had a private Instagram where she would share things only with select friends. But she began to notice that these private updates would get leaked to the papers. So to find the culprit, this unfaithful friend, she began to post fake stories, removing her friends' access to those stories one by one and seeing which of those stories made it into the newspapers, until just one person remained: Rebecca Vardy, the wife of another famous footballer, Jamie Vardy. Colleen was dubbed Wagatha Christie, which is just an excellent nickname, for her investigation skills into this mystery. But Mrs. Vardy pushed back, suing Colleen for libel, leading to the court case this week. And it has been pathetic, and it has been sad, and it has been very strange. But it relates to our question today of faithfulness. A faithful person, the Bible says, a faithful person who can find? Who is faithful? It should be that if someone is a true Christian who trusts in Jesus, who is loved and forgiven by the faithfulness of God through what Jesus has done and is doing, then you should find a faithful person. Are you faithful? What will it look like to be faithful? First thing this morning is the word dependable. Because a faithful person keeps their word. They do what they promise. They can be trusted not to cheat you, not to cheat on you, not to deceive you. They are people of honesty and integrity. Faithfulness is the character of someone you can rely on. They are dependable, reliable. How do we know that's what faithfulness looks like? Well, it's because that's what we learn God is like, right through Scripture. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His ways are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. That's one of the poems from Deuteronomy, one of the books of the Bible. The Psalms celebrate God's faithfulness again and again. Psalm 25, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. Psalm 33, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The psalm we sang, Psalm 36, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. We sing it. We praise God for faithfulness because faithfulness is something worth praising. When you get married, when a guy gets married, the groom has to choose a best man. Word of advice for anyone not yet married, do not choose someone undependable. Someone who won't organize the stag do very well. they lose the ring. They make filthy jokes in poor taste in their speech. You will regret choosing someone who might be your best friend, but they are an undependable friend, an unreliable friend. Choose the most faithful friend you have, the most dependable, the one who has been there for you and will show it, will prove it in the run-up to and then on the day. Part of the groom's speech is to praise the best man. You're meant to share why you chose them, because faithfulness is something worth praising. We do the same with God. Praise God. He is worthy of your singing because he is faithful to you and to me. How do we know that? How do we know he's faithful? The Bible says he's faithful. How do we know he's faithful? How do we know he's dependable? Because we know the stories of how he keeps his word. He is who he says he is. He does what he says he will do. I could take you through the Old Testament and you will find a God who made promises to save those who trust in him. And he kept those promises over generations, over millennia, through all the ups and downs and through all the sin and through all the failures. God kept his word to rescue his people from slavery in Egypt. God kept his word to bring justice to oppressors. God kept his word when putting up with all his people's grumbling and rebellion in the wilderness. The well-known hymn says, "Great is thy faithfulness." It's using the language of Lamentations chapter 3, another book in the Old Testament. But those words were written during the most terrible moment in Israel's history. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was burnt down. The people were exiled, sent away, taken into slavery in Babylon because of their sin. And yet, even still, even when they were suffering the consequences of their own unfaithfulness, the writer could say, "Great is thy faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness." He could still affirm the eternal faithfulness of God. Because even though they had broken, they had shown themselves to be undependable, unfaithful, God still kept his promises. And he did. And they were saved and rescued and brought back. God could be trusted. He was dependable. He keeps his word, even when we as human beings fall far short. God gave us a promise right back at the very beginning of the Bible to send a savior, to crush the head of the serpent, to pay for sin. And he did. Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, was born among us, the promised offspring of the woman. And he lived among us. And to crush the head of the serpent, he died among us and for us. That serpent wounded his heel, but it was not the end. He rose again. How faithful God is to send us himself as the lifeboat from our own shipwrecks. How faithful are you? Is your Christian walk a shipwreck? Is your life a shipwreck? What have you done with your life? Who are you? Well, how faithful God is. He sent us himself as the lifeboat. Jesus rose to prove he's the one worth trusting in. If he didn't actually rise again from the dead, well, what proof would we have that he makes good on his promises for life after death? Here is this promise of heaven, this promise of eternity. If Jesus didn't rise again, what proof would we have that he keeps his word? No, the promise of eternal life is a dependable promise, is a faithful promise, because Jesus literally rose again. He's already begun to make good on his promise to you and me of resurrection, eternal life, if we turn to him. You will live forever. We sing the song, "Great is thy faithfulness," because he is the most dependable being in the universe, in the existence. He's beyond the universe. He made the universe. He's got the whole universe in his hands. And then there's the stories of the generations past and the people in this room and around the world, brothers and sisters in countries facing great difficulty, who have known the faithfulness of God towards them. You know, if you are a Christian, if you have followed Jesus for any length of time and you have gone through the ups and downs of your own life, you know God is faithful. You know he keeps his word. And even when things haven't panned out the way that you've hoped and you are going through such hard times, you know enough, you've seen enough to know that his future promises that everything will be put right, all justice will be brought, all oppression will be paid for, all abuse will be dealt with. You know enough, you've read enough, you've seen Jesus enough to know he will keep his word. Justice will be done. And heaven will be won. And if that's the case about God, that he is dependable, he keeps his word, he is faithfulness, so then can his people. To have this God to depend on should change you. When God is this dependable, he is our anchor in the storms of life, the anchor that stops us from drifting into unfaithfulness. Because without him, you will drift. You will slip, you will backslide, you will shipwreck. His dependability, his faithfulness is your anchor. Keep coming back to his faithfulness to you, and you will find the strength, the perspective, the help, the guidance, the power to be faithful yourself. The Christian should, over time, gradually become the most reliable and dependable people. What you see should be what you get. If I say I'm going to do something, I should do it. If we get married, we should keep our marriage vows. We shouldn't cheat people. We shouldn't cheat on people. We should conduct our businesses and our work with integrity and reliability and honesty and transparency. What you see should be what you get. God's people should keep their word. And it's very difficult to process when you see in your own heart and your own life how unfaithful you are, how unfaithful I am. the many times I don't keep my word? Well, first, be glad and relieved that God's faithfulness is our anchor before you drift off any further. Come back, like I say to myself right now, come back. Here's our second word then. To define faithfulness. Trustworthy. Because a faithful person doesn't just keep their word and they do what they say they're going to do. A faithful person keeps your word. They are trustworthy with whatever you entrust to them, whether it's a secret or whether it's money or whether it's a possession, a thing, or whether it's their children and people. Are you trustworthy? We read one of the stories that Jesus told where a master entrusted his wealth to his servants. He trusted them to use what they were given in order to bring benefit to him. One man received 5 bags of gold, another 2, and they worked with what they had been given, and they produced great wealth, good results. And for that reason, the master calls them good and faithful servants. We looked at goodness last week. They were good because they knew it was the right thing to do. They were faithful because they were trustworthy. They didn't try to enrich themselves at their employer's expense. They didn't try and fob him off and be lazy and come up with excuses like the other man did. It was said of Daniel in the Old Testament, in Daniel 6, that the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. So Daniel was one of those people who had been exiled and taken out of Jerusalem, enslaved and dragged away into Babylon. And there, he rose up the ranks to be one of the highest officials and politicians in the whole of the Babylonian Empire. He was one of the most influential advisors in a government that otherwise ignored God. And so people did not like him because he did not ignore God. He was faithful to God, and they tried to bring charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. It says this, they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. He was honest and transparent and accountable in all his dealings. No such thing as the ends justify the means with him. He was faithful in his political career from top to bottom, even as others constantly stabbed each other and him in the back. How many politicians could we say that about? How many business people could we say that about? How many sports people could we say that about? I always struggled when playing football with just how much pulling and nipping and standing on toes there would be. That's what a defender got taught, you know, when you're marking a striker, just nibble at the, stand on their toe, get your studs into their front toes, and it puts them off, it winds them up, wind them up. You know, I always really struggled with that as a Christian playing football. It annoyed my teammates that I wouldn't. The book of Proverbs, which is a book in the Bible full of God's practical wisdom to learn and imbibe, to help you to be wise in all the complexity of life. It says this, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. We fudge our taxes. We cheat on an exam. We say we've done something when we've not. We nibble at the striker's toes. How trustworthy are we? What kind of character do you have? The quick test to this, and the most painful one for me, probably the most painful for you, is how good are you at keeping a secret? Doesn't that hit home? Gossip can spread so quickly, ruining the faithfulness of a church that is meant to be full of faithfulness. The servants in this story had been faithful to their master, faithful with what their master had trusted to them. Let me ask you this, what has God trusted you with? All of us have been given some sort of resources by God to use for his glory, whether you have a little, whether you have a lot. You are to use what you have in life for his glory. You've also been given people. You cannot pretend that you are faithful to God if you have been untrustworthy and negligent with the people God has put in your life. Faithfulness to God always includes faithfulness to one another. What are the two great commandments? Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor. You can't do the first without also doing the other. You can't do the other well without also doing the first. In fact, we show our faithfulness to God through being faithful to the people God has placed in our lives and in our orbit. Who is in your life? What has God given you? Money, possessions. What people has God put in your life? Your spouse, your children, your friends, your wider family, the people that are at work with you. The children that have been placed under your care, whether it's in schools or whether it's in churches, whether it's in youth groups. How trustworthy are you? Do you keep other people's word and other people well? That's what a faithful person looks like. Here's the last thing that marked out these people as faithful. And you see it there in verse 19 of our story. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Third word, dependable, trustworthy, loyal. They had proven themselves over a long period of time. That's the other thing about faithfulness. It's not just a flash in the pan faithfulness. It is a long-term loyalty. Those who prove themselves to be loyal show trustworthy, dependable behavior over a long period of time, sticking with you over time and through adversity. Let's say somebody joins your team at work. A new nurse or someone on the sales team, a new teacher. What proof do you have that they are faithful and dependable and trustworthy and loyal? It doesn't matter what they put on their CV. What proof do you have that they are someone you can rely on at work, that you can tell things to? When you witness who they are, bit by bit, little by little, over a long period of time. That's your proof that they are faithful co-workers. Time. Someone once said that faithfulness is a long obedience in the same direction. Well, when you obey Jesus and follow in his direction, you will need to pick up your cross to follow him. Because following Jesus is hard. and it is costly, and you cannot do it in your own strength. Only the Holy Spirit can enable us to pay the price, to count the cost of long-term faithfulness. Because if you're a Christian, then you were born again through the actions of someone who paid the price for you. And out of gratitude, out of love to his love and faithfulness, we pick up the cross. We go to the lengths of the long obedience in the same direction as Jesus. We are willing to go through suffering because we are loyal to the one who is loyal to us first. Jesus, who said, "I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of your hand, out of my hand." So first of all, in the loyalty of everything, first of all, come and see the loyalty and the faithfulness of God. He is the one you have to depend on. He is utterly trustworthy. He is loyal and committed to you at the cost of himself. I said we cannot live this faithfulness, this spiritual faithfulness, this fruit of the Spirit faithfulness in our own strength. We can't. We are all humanly capable of bursts of loyalty. But spiritual faithfulness is a fruit of loyalty that transcends self-interest. Oh, you can be loyal to someone when you're getting something out of it. You can be loyal to a king in medieval times when they put you in the high courts of their the high places in their courts, and they give you what the land, what you want, and so on. Great to be loyal to them. Will you be loyal? Faithful to God and faithful to people, even though it costs you now. Let me give you an example. There are fewer faithful people in the Bible than David's friend, Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of King Saul and next in line to the throne of Israel. But God anointed a new king to take over from Saul, the young shepherd boy, David. So what would Jonathan do? What kind of person would he be? Knowing this, he became the most faithful friend, the most faithful kind of person. His loyal and committed friendship to David almost cost him his own life at the hands of his own father, King Saul. It definitely cost him the throne of Israel. Many times he could have thrown David under the bus, had him killed, and he himself would have become king. Humanly speaking, history tells of kings and queens who made selfish decisions to win thrones. But Jonathan trusted in God, and he knew what God's will was. He was long obedient in the same direction to what God's will was. He knew what God wanted him to do. He was loyal to God, and he was loyal to David, even though it cost him everything. We all know the difference between a good friend and a bad friend. And we all know the difference having a good friend and having a bad friend makes. So if you have friends that are unfaithful and undependable and untrustworthy and disloyal, you know it will rub off on you. If you have coffee every week with a gossip, you don't need cake. You've got all the juicy stuff right there to eat up. Without being careful, you will turn into a gossip too. But if you want to become more faithful to God and more faithful to others, if you want to change and grow, spend more time with faithful people. If you have an unfaithful friend, bring them into contact with more faithful people. But most of all, for both you and that unfaithful friend, spend more time with Jesus. The faithful, the most faithful friend, the friend that sticks closer than any brother, who died for you. Read and listen to him. Speak and pray to him. Worship him alone and together. And the more time you spend with him, the most faithful friend, the more you'll change. The fruit of the Spirit will grow. So if you are yourself slipping into unfaithfulness and unfaithful habits, and you are undependable, you are untrustworthy, you are disloyal, spend time with Jesus. If you have friends who are exhibiting the traits of all those three things, they are undependable, untrustworthy, disloyal, bring them to Jesus, spend time, do a Bible study with them. Let the iron of God's word sharpen them, rebuke them and help them in love. But at the end of the day, are you a faithful person? If not, if you aren't, be relieved this morning. We have a faithful God to turn to. But don't stop there. Let his faithfulness fill you with the faith to be faithful. Rely on him and be reliable. Keep your word. Keep your marriage vows. Keep your promises. Even when it costs you your desires, your things, yourself. Keep your word. Keep their word. Show it over a long period of time. Because your Lord and Savior is your life. His Spirit is your Spirit. So draw from worship and obedience to Jesus and his work in you. Be faithful. And may it be that one day you'll hear those words from God himself. I hope, I trust I'll hear those words, and I hope and I trust by God's grace I will. By God's grace, I pray you will hear those words on the final day. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen.